Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The Brain Massage Show releases truth antibodies in the brain that attack and destroy liberal lies. Get over. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. What to do about Ukraine? Well, it's a sort of pull the beam from your own eye before you go about picking motes from the eyes of others. Biden's Ministry of Truth has been put on the back burner, and his arbiter of all things truth has resigned. Here is a Ministry of Untruth for you. Christian Church will host drag show for youth ages 12 to 18. Whoa, Florida's Naples United Church of Christ holds a youth pride conference. What's going on with the churches tells you what sort of trouble we're in here in America. Here's a bit of trivia you might find interesting. Chief Justice Roberts is responsible for all 11 FISA court judges who allowed illegal spying on Trump. The Durham noose is tightening. Hillary Clinton personally approved spreading Trump-Russia disinformation to media. From the Daily Caller, former campaign manager testifies. Hillary's former campaign manager testified in court during Durham's prosecution of Sussman that Hillary knew about the false allegations of Trump's collusion with Russia and approved its release to the media. He testified that the Clinton campaign was unsure whether the data was legitimate. He testified that he personally discussed the matter with Hillary. Getting closer. And California Assembly Bill 2223 allows for abortion to full term. And language within the bill opens a loophole, allowing for the extension of abortion protection up to 1 month after the child is born. The word in the bill is perinatal, and all pediatricians know exactly what this word means, and you had better become acquainted with it. Let's see. I've got so much on this and on the Ministries of Untruth. These two items are likely to take up most of my time today, so we'll just do touch and goes on the rest. My friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
What to do about Ukraine? You know, I've said it's a sort of pull the beam from your own eye before you go about picking motes from the eyes of others, and I'll explain that tonight. The only Republicans who voted against this bill are Blackburn, Boozman, Braun, Crapo, Haggerty, Hawley, Lee, Loomis, Marshall, Paul, and Tuberville. Notably, Cruz is missing from this list. Why? I'll discuss it tonight during my live stream. You've heard that Biden's Ministry of Truth has been put on hold, and his Minister of Truth, Jankowicz, has resigned. Now, we need to resign all the ministries of untruth out there by finally and completely walking away from these new cart churches and start supporting the old path churches, you know, like Jeremiah advised. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where's the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And let's avoid the fateful error of Judah on the day they replied to Jeremiah. Quote, but they said, we will not walk therein. Jeremiah 6:16, the theme verse for the ministry of Lighthouse Baptist Church. Florida's Naples United Church of Christ hosts a Youth Pride Conference. Here is a Ministry of Untruth for you. Quote, Christian Church will host drag show for youth ages 12 to 18, end quote. What is going on in the churches, my friends? It all goes through what you think a church is and what you think about the Bible, even which version you adopt. Deuteronomy 22:5 and 1 Corinthians 6:9, together with many other passages, by the way, make it clear God made man male and female and has commanded we respect and maintain gender distinction both in wardrobe, 22:5 of Deuteronomy, and in manners, 1 Corinthians 6:9. Registrants to the Youth Pride Conference are asked to enter their pronouns. Missionaries told me recently what are his children's preferred pronouns. When they're in trouble, it's they. When food is offered, it's me. When asked who did it, it's he or she. After, and by way of caveat, I should point out that this Ministry of Untruth got some pushback. The district refused to allow the schools to be used as pickup points as they had intended and planned, and instructed the event organizers to remove any notice that suggests the school district is associated with the event. Then the church put out a confusing disclaimer on their sign-up page. Please acknowledge that you understand this is an event hosted by GLSEN, that's Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, Collier, and is not affiliated with Naples United Church of a Christ, huh? That must be a typo, or Collier County Public Schools. Then they added, quote, GLSEN Collier is a nonprofit organization that works to provide a safe and inclusive environment for our marginalized students, particularly those who identify as LGBTQ, end quote. Now, the article informs us that, quote, Christian congregations are increasingly supporting gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender culture, end quote. And this article lists six documenting articles supporting this statement. Here's one of them. The North Carolina Calvary United Methodist held an event called Drag Me to Church. Yeah, drag, you get it. The brutish pastor of that church said, quote, it brings such good and positive energy, which is really what we wanted this to be about, end quote. But the pastor is sensitive to family, you know, so he assured his congregation that this would be a family-friendly drag show. Okay. Here's another church that hosted a pride drag show, an Atlanta house of worship. The campus church of Emory University's Glenn Memorial is a Methodist congregation speeding to hell with their pedal to the metal. The Methodist church hosted the event, parading men in dresses and celebrating pride. Yeah, pride's a good thing now. Who knew? Wesley, I guess he missed that part when he was reading the Bible, right? He got confused with that bit about pride being numbered among the seven deadly sins. But if you look at that organization's website, it declares, quote, Naples UCC, United Churches of Christ, is a congregational church, which means that involvement and leadership is expected from all our members to do the work of being the church as a member of the United Church of Christ denomination. We accept the challenge and mutual accountability of being counted as one of many UCC churches that advocate for personal and social responsibility in living out the gospel of Jesus Christ. End quote. I kid you not, it's what it says. And you see, folks, it's fundamentally a fundamental corruption of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Christian LGBTQers are beginning to come out of the closet about that, too. Penny Cost is a Methodist drag queen pastor who occasionally preaches in drag. Here's a video of one of Penny's sermons, admitting he is, quote, uncomfortable with the story of the crucifixion, end quote. You have to see this video to appreciate how vile. She, he, or it went on to complain about the analogies of the cross, the metaphors and so on, all that symbology. Quote, because for me, he said, quote, it's hard to move past the idea of the cross as anything but a torturous death trap, a death thing, a symbol of sustained harm and insurmountable, painful loneliness. She emphasized that word. At least, she said, until she read the Queer Bible Commentary. Yeah, there is one of those. She explained, quote, it transposes the story of Christ's crucifixion, really of every story in the Bible, but this one specifically was about the crucifixion, and it transposes that onto the story of the queer experience. It forces the reader to wonder whether the story of Christ can be seen through a lens of queerness, through a lens of drag. People will tremble, she said, when sensing the mystery of queer holiness. I'm not sure she said loneliness or holiness. I think she said holiness. For me, she said, drag is a powerful form of uncovering my own secret, shouting it on the mountaintops, end quote. You know, the crucifixion was troubling to her until she could see it as affirming queer angst, especially queer loneliness. In an effort to reach out to the trans community, the Lutheran Church of Sweden put out a formal declaration in a missive titled, Personal Letter to You Who Are Trans. The statement declares that the Swedish church is trans. The reasoning is very simple. A church is made up of people. People are different. Some of them are transgender. Because the church also consists of transgender people, well, the church could be described as trans. So, there you go. Wow. And thank you, Alex Parker, for assembling these articles for us. Red State is a great source for news and views. Here's another one. Church pastor claims Jesus transgenders himself in the Bible. Yeah, I guess if we're going to blow the whistle on the Methodists and the Lutherans and the Church of Christ, we shouldn't leave out the Baptists, right? Yeah, this beauty comes from Simon Woodman of Bloomsbury Central Baptist Church, invited to speak at a panel gathered to discuss queer theology. However, it is appropriate to point out that this is a United Kingdom Baptist pastor, Spurgeon, sorry. But take heart, as Parker points out, our Baptist pastors don't wear white collars and also typically, quote, they don't assert the Messiah subscribed to 21st century gender theology, end quote. Simon's biblical support for his theory is taken from Jesus' lament that he had sought to gather Jerusalem under his wings like a hen gathers her chicks. How bizarre. And the humble gesture of washing the disciples' feet, since in the Bible, he points out, that practice is consistently something done by a woman. And so this fellow, or whatever he or it is, explains that when Jesus did this, quote, Jesus becomes the woman at that point, end quote. Now, I guess that might get the seeker-sensitive heretic in trouble with those who identify with her and she pronouns, since it suggests washing feet is limited to being a female thing. Does this mean that when I wash the dishes at home, I become a woman? Oh my. Anyway, another pastor at this conference on queer theology, Angela, just came out with it and said, God is queer. So, a long way from God is dead, eh? So London's bridge is certainly coming down, and an Episcopal bishop declared God is female, and the Episcopal Church considered giving the Creator a sex change. Well, that's been in the works for a while now, excising all masculine pronouns from the Bible, and now, horror of horrors, these Episcopos are doing it to their Book of Common Prayer, oh my. But the devil has not entirely ignored us, that is the U.S., something that is not news to you, of course. Duke University is a United Methodist college in North Carolina. In a video from a March service, attendees to the Goodson Chapel Service of Word, Caroline Kemp, the communications coordinator for Duke Divinity Pride, greeted the assembly, saying, quote, good morning, the holy and queer one be with you, end quote. Can you believe these people? So back to the United Church of Christ in Naples, Florida, the first ministry of untruth I mentioned at the beginning of this segment. They attacked their governor, DeSantis, for not allowing public schools to use pornography in their curriculum and or to teach children their gender confusion nonsense. Here is the statement issued by this ministry of untruth. Quote, this latest attack has already had a chilling effect on LGBTQ plus youth, who already experience victimization such as bullying, harassment, and discrimination. The Don't Say Gay bill is an exclusionary curriculum ban that deprives LGBTQ plus communities and blah, blah, blah. Friend, I'll need to go off to a break here, but do you get it? Suppose Jesus has removed the candlestick from these ministries of untruth? Yeah, long time ago. Why anyone would continue supporting and attending these Newcart, namby-pamby, world-loving, word-despising ministries of untruth is totally beyond my comprehension, except that, you see, it is in the end the result of a corruption of the gospel. Hold on, I'll be right back.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. California Assembly Bill 2223 allows for abortion to full term, and language in the bill opens a loophole allowing for the extension of abortion protection up to 1 month after the child is born. The word in the bill is perinatal, and all pediatricians know exactly what it means, and you need to become acquainted with it. The word is perinatal, as I said, and the meaning is, well, anything that occurs in the life of a child at or around the time of its birth, defined as 5 months before and 1 month after. From the Free Dictionary by Farlax Medical Dictionary, the perinatal period extends from, quote, shortly before and after birth, from the 20th to the 29th week of gestation, to 1 to 4 weeks after birth, end quote. Another definition offered in the American Heritage Medical Dictionary, says, quote, of, relating to, or being the period around childbirth, especially the 5 months before and 1 month after birth. In the UK, it's a bit different. In the Segans Medical Dictionary, it is defined as, quote, referring to the period around birth, often defined as between the 28th week of pregnancy and the end of the first week of life, end quote. In the McGraw-Hill Concise Dictionary of Modern Medicine, it is defined as, quote, referring to the period around birth, often between the 28th week of pregnancy and the end of the first week of life, end quote. For the Medical Dictionary for the Health Professionals and Nursing, perinatal is defined as, quote, occurring during or pertaining to the periods before, during, or after the time of birth, that is, before delivery from the 28th week of gestation through the first 7 days after delivery, end quote. From Collins Dictionary of Medicine, perinatal is defined as, quote, pertaining to the period immediately before and after birth. For statistical purposes, the perinatal period is defined as that period from the 28th week of pregnancy to the end of the first week after birth. Perinatal mortality is the number of babies born dead together with the number dying during the first week after birth, end quote. Then the Gale Encyclopedia of Medicine defines perinatal as referring to the period of time surrounding an infant's birth from the last 2 months of pregnancy to the first 28 days of life, quote unquote. The Medical Dictionary for the Dental Professions tells us the perinatal period means any event, quote, occurring during or pertaining to the periods before, during, or after the time of birth, end quote. And that's it. Oh, my. That's wide open. So why is the brain masseur looking so closely at this word and how it's defined? What difference does it make if perinatal refers to events such as death occurring 1 month or 5 months before birth and after birth up to 1 week, 7 days, 4 weeks, 28 days, or a month, or just after the time of birth? Well, because Wicked Buffy Wicks has introduced a bill in the California legislature that says mothers and any participating medical professional cannot be held liable for the death of a child during this period, no matter by what cause. Her bill states, quote, a critical part of realizing reproductive justice for people in California is clarifying that there shall be no civil and criminal penalties for people's actual potential or alleged pregnancy outcomes. That makes the meaning of perinatal a particular concern. The difference between 7 days and 28 days, well, can mean a life or death sentence to a newborn baby under 29 days old. The bill explains that, quote, existing law requires a county coroner to hold inquests to inquire into and determine the circumstances, manner, and cause of violent, sudden, or unusual deaths, including deaths related to or following known or suspected self-induced or criminal abortion, end quote. Now, in this bill, that would be stricken. The bill would prohibit using the coroner's statements on the certificate of fetal death to establish, bring, or support a criminal prosecution or civil cause of damages against any person. That's quote unquote, no matter what the coroner found as a cause of death. Yeah. Furthermore, while existing law provides for an assumed, quote, fundamental right of privacy with respect to their personal reproductive decisions, end quote, this law removes any culpability for any occurrence of death that occurs within the perinatal period. Under existing law, an abortion is unauthorized if either the person performing the abortion is not a healthcare provider that is authorized to perform an abortion, or the fetus is viable, end quote. By this law, the state prohibits interference with a pregnant person's right to choose or obtain an abortion even after the fetus is viable. And by the way, the word fetus, it means little child. Buffy's bill would, quote, prohibit a person from being subject to civil or criminal liability or otherwise deprived of their rights based on their actions or omissions with respect to their pregnancy or actual, potential, or alleged pregnancy outcome, or based solely on their actions to aid or assist a pregnant person who is exercising their reproductive rights, end quote. And then there's this disturbing sentence in the bill. It expressly allows the birthing person to perform the abortion independent of a healthcare professional. I mean, so much for keep them safe. That's the only reasonable sense I can take from this absurd sentence, which I found in this bill. The quote, the bill would clarify that an abortion is unauthorized if performed by a person other than the pregnant person, and either the person performing the abortion is not a health care provider that is authorized to perform an abortion, or the fetus is viable, end quote. Now, that's just a very badly constructed sentence. It's like they just stuck that first thing on existing language and just didn't pay attention to what they're doing. But that's what it says. This is as messy and sloppy as that monster inserting a scalpel into the mother's womb and dismembering the child there that we now know is fighting for its life during this brutal and violent attack. The reason this bill got such pushback is that, as introduced, if any state actor decided to prosecute a wrongful death allegation against a mother or an abortionist, whether that death occurred during the perinatal period extending up to viability and even up to 1 month after birth, those state actors could be sued in a civil action, and the state actor in such a case would have no state resources to defend them. After examination of the full text of the current version of this bill, here's what I got for you. This word perinatal appears in an awkward place. For example, under Section 1F, quote, pregnancies can end in a range of outcomes. Nationwide, as many as 1 in 5 known pregnancies end in miscarriage. In California, as many as 2,365 pregnancies per year end in stillbirth, meaning perinatal loss after 20 weeks gestation, end quote. Now, and then this clause, it ends abruptly with, quote, many pregnancy losses have no known explanation, end quote. Now, friend, yeah, that's right, which is why an inquest is called for to inquire whether any of those for which there is a known cause was due to criminal negligence on the part of the mother or any of the medical professionals involved. You see, everybody knows what stillbirth means. You do not need a qualifier that it refers to babies born stillbirth after 20 weeks, unless you are expressly trying to remove the current stipulation in law against murdering the child after viability. Generally, 23 to 24 weeks is considered the threshold of viability. Preemies born after 23 weeks with care often survive, and the survivability of these infants outside the womb increases exponentially every week thereafter. At 25 weeks, the viability is upwards of 86 to 89%. California law forbids abortion after viability. WIC's wicked law expressly allows for abortion throughout pregnancy and provides a loophole that would allow a mother and her medical attendants to kill the baby up to 1 month after birth without legal or civil consequences. And it does not offer any sort of qualification. For example, I can't find in it any idea that if the mother strangles the baby, for example, within a week after it's born, no state actor can move to prosecute her. No charges can be brought. No inquest can be called for. That's what this bill says. This would be true also if she authorized her doctor or nurse or other person, no matter who, to dispose of the baby. Never mind the obvious racial bigotry revealed in this bill and the fact that it is kind of a inverted bias against the interests of so-called people of color. This fool woman, Wicks, thinks civil and criminal penalties imposed on pregnant women is a, quote, critical issue for Black, Indigenous, and other people of color, end quote. What? Who, are you ready for this? Quote, experience adverse pregnancy outcomes as a result of systemic racial inequalities and are more likely to be under scrutiny of state systems like child welfare or immigration, end quote. Now, I don't have time here to unpack the bias and bigotry oozing from almost every word of that sentence. If you think about it, you can see it. So, if within 3 days, the coroner finds that the child was, say, strangled, stabbed, burned alive, neglected, or otherwise perished by the neglect or hands of its mother or attending medical professional or someone else, and so authorizes this be stipulated on the death certificate, if it happened within that perinatal period and was related in any way to the birthing of the child, meaning the decision to exterminate the child was authorized by the choice of the birthing person, nothing appearing on the death certificate may be used to establish, bring, or support a criminal prosecution or civil cause of action seeking damages against any person, whether or not they were the person who was pregnant with the fetus, end quote. It's bizarre. Section 7 adds Section 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, which provides for complete protection against the application of any existing law. I mean, they just, quote, notwithstanding any other law, a person shall not be subject to civil or criminal liability or penalty or otherwise deprived of their rights under this article based on their actions or omissions with respect to their pregnancy or actual potential or alleged pregnancy outcome, including miscarriage, stillbirth, or abortion, or perinatal death due to a pregnancy-related cause. Now, that was the original version. After some serious pushback, the bloodthirsty Draxols backed off a bit and changed it to seemingly limit the exemption from legal culpability to deaths that occur from, quote, causes that occurred in utero. Of course, this means a court could elect to read this clause into a decision to prosecute any against murder of the child from causes that occur after the baby breaches the womb. However, first, it eliminates any protection for the baby in the womb all the way to birth. And the question becomes, what is materially different between a child that lands in the hands of the nurse from the womb or doctor and that same baby 5 seconds earlier while in the birth canal or in utero? Second, the argument will almost certainly be made for partial birth abortion, since in that case, the baby is only partially outside the uterus, right? Or they'll develop a procedure, a hellish procedure, whereby the baby will be brought to breech and destroyed immediately before, say, by injecting the child with some poison while technically in utero, and then delivering the baby, which is left to die after it's brought out of the birthing canal. You see what I mean? Third, as we know, liberal courts are adept at reading contradictory statements in law in a manner allowing them to find wiggle room to get around the obvious sense of the language. They've been doing that with the Constitution long enough. And so it is not at all hard to foresee some wicked judge using statements made earlier about protections against incriminating someone for perinatal destruction of the child earlier in the text as qualifying or somehow modifying the meaning of the language that's used here. In other words, what can be considered a, quote, cause that occurred in utero? How about a statement by the mother that she doesn't want the baby? Or even after the fact, declaring she does not want the baby, even if it is because someone offered to pay her $10,000 for the child in order to harvest it for organs. If you think I'm kidding you, you have not been paying attention to what has been going on out there. Now, this is bad law. One, it extends the mother's right to choose to kill her baby beyond viability to full term. Two, it creates a situation where a mother, a doctor, or other medical practitioner, or actually anyone whose actions or omissions result and the death of the baby cannot be prosecuted by law, and I see nothing in this bill that expressly provides some exception for intentional murder throughout the perinatal period, which does extend up to 1 month after birth, according to some definitions. And three, because the language apparently limiting this provision to things that occurred in utero does not specify the occurrence of the mother deciding ex post facto that she does not want the baby, so long as the decision is argued to have reference to something, anything that happened while the baby was in utero. You see, we've already seen how some courts interpret law in this ridiculous fashion. And no state actor is going to risk being prosecuted for violating a woman's reproductive rights by attempting to prosecute a case of this sort. So call your state representatives and urge them to vote no on this horrible anti-baby, anti-family, anti-Christ bill. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, brainmassage.net. Find the contact us button and send me an email. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. And the number is 805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Go to godswar2020.com.